All right, item number two. And we got a couple of interesting emails about this yesterday. We had Kurt Menefee on the show, our old buddy, who was a day oneer at the Ticket, and now he's a bigwig at Fox. And Kurt told us the story about when he and his best friend Jay Glazer, many, many years ago, were in Mississippi, and they saw a UFO. And it's a pretty interesting story, and I got Jay Glazer at Media Day to tell the story. So Kurt told us his version yesterday. I thought I'd play this for you guys this morning and for the P1s.
Oh, good.
So that they could compare the two stories. And then let's talk about what we think they actually saw when they were driving through the Mississippi countryside.
Kurt and I were driving. There was a huge fight. It was actually George Foreman was fighting Michael Moore, and we're big boxing fans. We wanted to go see it. So we were in Olive Branch, Mississippi, because the Giants was the first year. They were playing the Tennessee Oilers, I think they were called at the time. They were playing in Memphis for that one year. They put us in Olive Branch. So first of all, I'm petrified. We're driving down. I'm a Jewish guy from New York. We're driving down a dirt road, and I look like my cousin Vinny. And we're driving down a dirt, and I'm with a black guy in Kurt. And we're driving down a dirt road to like this casino to go watch the fight. And on the way back, we're sitting there, and we see what we think is a water tower. And like the top lights, and we're coming, what is that? What is that? And I said, Kurt says, what is that? And I said, it's a water tower. And he said, no, there's nothing under it. So we kind of drive all the way up there. Kurt jumps out, puts his arms out, waiting for the light for the anal probe. Okay, maybe I made that part up. But no, we drive right under the thing, and like we both jump out. We're like, oh my God. And literally the thing, it looked like a stealth, but it was just hovering. And stealth can't hover, at least from what Kurt says. And Kurt's a lot smarter than me, so I believe him.
Did it make any noise?
Silently just went away. It's like we jumped out and right behind these, just gone. I'm telling you, and we've since changed our names to Clovis and Ray Ray. Yeah, so it's a true story. I'm telling you, wow. It's a true story. We saw a UFO. I think Kurt may have been, disappeared for about a week, but I'm telling you, it's a true story. I wish I had gotten some of the powers like John Travolta got, but phenomenon. Didn't happen.
I'm glad you weren't abducted and probed.
No, I think if either one of us, they choose Kurt. Come on, please. He's way too scrumptious.
Okay, that was Jay Glazer telling the UFO stories. Then got an email from Chuck, a P1, who works at Lockheed Martin, and he says, I can tell you as a longtime aerospace designer, Kurt and Jay saw a UFO. They saw nothing of human design based on their story.
Yeah, you know, Kurt was trying to say that it was a, that he did not feel it was a UFO. I mean, definitionally, he said it was a UFO to him. But he felt it was of human origin, and it was going to be an aircraft that the military had.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that. They can't hover like that silently and then take off in a blink. And it's interesting that that's the MO of UFOs since the beginning of this whole phenomenon in the 40s, is that they can hover, and then all of a sudden they can take off at an incredible speed. That stuff fascinates me and creeps me out.
What is
These two guys have no reason to make this story up.
No, they're not looking for notoriety.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's what launched Kurt into to get that job.
I think that's what got him the gig.
You think so?
Yeah.
And their stories match up.
Uh-huh.
And it was a long time ago, and I thought he had a funny line. He said, I'm a little nervous because I'm a Jewish guy driving down a back road in Mississippi with a black guy.
I don't think it's what happened
a,
to
it's not funny, but
the
it was
three
just
civil
a,
rights
okay.
workers.
Well,
was,
we weren't talking about that specifically. It's such a cartoon to imagine those two, and then they see a UFO together.
And the creepy thing to me is the no noise.
Yeah.
It just moves away rapidly, and there's no noise.
Yeah. Hovers above you, no noise.
Okay, that guy Lockheed Martin, maybe he doesn't have really high clearance, so there are some things that he doesn't know about that are so awesome that only a few people know about them.
But don't you think that we would have some knowledge of the technology to where, oh yeah, we do anti-gravity stuff all the time, the little robot that you have in your house, you know, that hovers in the air, that makes no sound, and I mean, we would have some kind of technology that seems similar to that
stuff.
You would
think, yeah. That's weird.
You believe in them?
I believe in the possibility, yeah. But okay, but just as we don't have a logical explanation about, yes, this is in development for the military or someone else. We also don't have clear documentation of it either. Wouldn't you think after, whatever, 60 or 70 years, people have been taking pictures and video and movies of them, we don't have anything that looks... It's always blurry to me. I mean, I haven't seen anything. Have you guys ever seen one? I go,
no.
Oh, wow, that's clearly...
I know what you're saying. You'd think that at some point...
It would be overwhelmingly convincing.
Yeah,
there'd be no debate.
Where it would plop, a ship would plop down in the middle of a city, and there'd be a million pictures of it, and maybe someone went up and touched it, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I wonder why we ever see them. I mean, if they're technologically advanced enough to have these spacecraft, can't they conceal themselves? Why is it that they are visible at times? I don't get that.
Are they testing our reaction? Are they that advanced?
You know the theory that I find is most interesting? Well, it's actually two theories, and neither of them can be proven.
Well, it's not really a theory.
Oh, Mr. Douglas. One of them is that it's they're not necessarily space traveling. It's that they're dimension traveling.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting angle.
Mm-hmm.
And the other interesting angle to me is that they are us. That this is some sort of time traveling that we're doing on our own, on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's us, you know, 5-10,000 years from now traveling
back.
And... you know, doing our own research on our own histories or something.
Or maybe a couple of these are oops moments for time travelers from 10,000 years in the future. Oh, man.
Right.
We're supposed to go back to 2014.
So that was a group of people from 10,000 years in the future seeing what the two Fox broadcasters were up to on a given night?
Well, I don't think that was their goal.
No. They just stumbled on them.
They just stumbled upon
something
them,
else.
Yeah. They weren't seeing what Menifee and Glazer were up to.
My guess would be of every 1,000 UFO sightings reported, one is probably legit. That's how I feel. Whether it's from the future or whether it's an actual present-day visit from Mars.
Mars.
Just such an outdated term. But that would be my guess. 99.9% of them are weather balloons or made up.
Uh-huh.
But there's got to be... Every once in a blue moon, there's got to be one that is an actual visitation. That's what I believe.
I may just start doing a little research on this. A little research. I remember once reading that Whitley Strieber Communion book. You ever read that?
Mm-mm.
Pick that up. It's a good read. It's about abductions. And I read that, and I was so freaked out. Whitley Strieber Communion.
You remember Matt McLaren, our former... ticker guy who now works in Alabama.
He claimed abduction.
He had an abduction story. He told it on the air for us, and he is 100% dead serious, completely feels like he was abducted. He was in his bedroom at night.
Now, well,
that was weird.
I mean, and he gets like real emotional, and it's hard for him to tell sometimes.
Yeah.
So either it actually happened, or he's certifiably insane, because it doesn't seem like he's making it up.
Well, I don't think he's making it up. But
given the Christmas song that he wrote, he may be insane.
I didn't hear his story, but I know the, you know, I had an episode of sleep paralysis that really, really freaked me out and was incredibly powerful, like emotionally, and I mean, that stayed with me for a long time.
Asleep?
Yeah, I was asleep. It was the place I moved out right after we moved out of the compound. And I woke up in the middle of the night, or I say I woke up, but I had died. And I was aware that I was dead, and but I could open my eyes, and I couldn't move my body at all. And I was trying to decide whether to cross over or not. It was that kind of feeling.
Wow.
But it wasn't exactly that. It was something different than just, oh, I'm dying, I'm going to cross over to the other side or not. It was like I knew I was dead. I could feel that my heart was not beating in my chest, but I'm aware of this and experiencing all of this. And I couldn't move my body, but I could look around the room.
Wow.
And it was like this big struggle to finally, like, move a pinky kind of thing, and then finally kind of fall out of the bed and get out of it.
Wow.
It was so creepy. But then, and I thought that, and I remember thinking then, this is some sort of, like, exactly the way they talk about when aliens appear in your place, how you become completely immobilized. Mm-hmm. You can look, but you cannot move. They have paralyzed you. And I remember thinking then that was what was going on, too. Either I was dead, or there were aliens there that had paralyzed me. Then later on, I read about sleep paralysis, and it described it exactly.
You didn't see Yoda and the big alligator waving at you or anything?
I was just sharing a very emotional thing, and now I'm going to write a Christmas song.
Yeah, that's the only difference between your story and Matt's, is that he saw aliens there around him. And did they take him away, or did they just observe him there?
I don't think they took him anywhere. Okay. I think it all happened wherever he was.
Yeah. I've had those moments, but I'm not quite all the way awake. So it's just a half dream state paralysis where I'm trying to scream or yell or get somebody's attention and I can't. And I'm really forcing it and nothing's coming out of my mouth. Those are awful dreams.
Well, I tell you, the strange thing in like that Whitley Strieber book, they talk about the commonalities between the experiences that people have. And one of them is that people will always, a lot of times, remember odd animals in their place. It's like the aliens replace the memory of them with, like, an owl.
Really?
Or there was a bear in my room that didn't do anything. He just stood there and looked at me. And I always thought that was really creepy.
Wow,
that they would
creepy.
Have this odd animal would all of a sudden appear as a memory replacement. And then the other thing is that when the aliens show up, the way they don't, they speak telepathically to each other and to you, and how they're completely unemotional. They're always unemotional. They can feel the alien's feelings and feel how unemotional the aliens are from the inside the alien. That's weird. And the other thing is that they all describe the smell of kind of a burnt cinnamon smell. A burnt cinnamon or cheese smell mixed together.
Martians love cinnamon cheese.
Yes.
It's really weird.
I see bears in my sleep all the time.
Okay. Why don't you go write a Christmas song?
All right, 5:49 here on the ticket. That's the UFO story we wanted to tell you.